Chapter 11. Listen, Chris said to Gloria, you doing anything special today? They were in the kitchen. Chris had come down after calling Mark, and she had the griddle working, the middle of the stove and hotcakes on there. And naturally with Gloria, they weren't your run-of-the-mill Bisquick flapjacks. Unbelievable, Chris said, stuffing in the first bite after saturating the beauties with both the real Vermont maple syrup she brought out, as well as an incredible blackberry jam from somewhere. Oh, you always say that, she said. You're my best fan. And I'm betting you always say that, Chris said, because whatever you concoct, unless the guest in question was born taste budless, is going to leave them dripping in a state of orgiastic delight. Ooh, ouch. Not only did that come out wrong, he meant orgasmic, didn't he? Not quite sure what the other word even meant. But why use any analogy remotely in the ballpark? Chris remembered his dad once at a dinner party, making a comment like that to an attractive guest who lived down the block and was pretty tight with his mom and had gone through about 5 husbands. His dad's reference point wasn't food, it was literature. And everyone had loosened up by now, and his dad was quoting the woman a passage from Dostoevsky. Maybe that wasn't it, the literature part. Maybe his dad was relating another experience he'd like to bring up, an archaeology trip he'd been a part of before Chris was born, where they visited one of the Egyptian collections. Either way, there was the orgasms of delight summation from his dad. In the dinner party case, Chris wondered if his dad was making it with the woman, or might have in the future, and she was one of those society people who attended the opening night of the opera in full formal getup, but otherwise wore awfully tight skirts and could swing the heck out of her hips when she walked. Since if you weren't trying to subliminally lead someone on, why would you, in the middle of a stack of pancakes, angle your reaction like that? Gloria did seem a bit lost for words, and Chris said, that popped out. Terrible faux pas on my part. Very sorry about that. So you're not trying to seduce me, she said. Wasn't planning on it, no. I'm glad then. I mean, in a next lifetime, who knows? She said. And they left it at that, and Gloria refilled and restacked everything. And Chris said he's going to have to walk about 20 miles to work this off. And the semi-serious moment had passed, and they were back joking around. And you really did need the glories of the world, didn't you? Where stuff didn't invariably have to lead to other stuff. And where if that didn't work, you'd screwed something up. At any rate, Chris said, what I was starting you off there... Would you want to come with me and visit an old teacher? What school, she said, and yeah, he was forgetting, obviously. He could mean someone from high school, Lowell, who they both knew. No, this is Marina we're talking, he said. Middle school? If you need to, we still call it junior high, much stronger. Who's your teacher? Mr. Gullickson, P.E., very tough customer, would probably be in jail today, or at least bankrupt from all the lawsuits. I mean, if you weren't paying attention, he'd physically smack you. He's not doing well, I heard. Where did you hear this? Gloria said. Gee, you're giving me the third degree. From one of those dumb Facebook groups I don't like admitting to being in. Something like we went to junior high school in San Francisco. I've seen that one. We have our own, though. Giannini. Our alumni class is pretty organized. What a surprise, Chris said. This guy lives in Walnut Creek, Mr. Gullickson. And you're saying he's in ill health now and you had a fond relationship with him? Are you kidding, Chris said. Like I was getting to, he kicked our asses for 3 years. Gloria thought about this. So you want to resolve things, she said. One more thing about my dad, Chris said, easing the Chevy Malibu off 680 onto Ignacio Valley Road. He said when he was a kid, my grandparents brought them over here a few times on a Sunday, and they swam in the creek. Of course, there was no sign of any creek now, or walnut orchards either. What that darn town was named after. The Dumkoffs on these planning boards, in Chris's opinion, cheerleading every move that could transform the town into as faceless a one as possible. You had 10-story steel and glass buildings sitting where any chance for a walnut or a creek were buried long ago. Even now, there'd been a couple of huge cranes doing something, a block off the exit. You sure about that time frame, your dad, Gloria said? And admittedly, Chris was not. Maybe it was too late already if his dad was a kid in the 1940s. But the story had a little pop to it. A couple miles east, they came up on a huge medical complex, and Gloria looked at Chris and he shook his head, like, don't worry, I'm not dragging you into one of those places today. You hit a T at the base of the hills and turn right into a residential neighborhood that had seen better days, but was still pleasant enough. The houses were early tracks, late 50s, early 60s, you would guess, and many of them looked like two-bedroom jobs, with one-car garages sticking out of the front, the type of situation where a lot of folks convert the thing into another room. There were some, though, that had been spiffed up, and another story had been added, and you figured that trend was going to continue as tech firms were vacating San Jose and moving out this way, where the rents were cheaper for now. Mr. Gullickson's house wasn't one of the new variety. Yes, the outside had been painted in the last 20 years and the roof had been maintained, but that may have been it. Everything looked pretty dang original, including the windows and those metal awnings hanging over them that you'd see in the old days in real hot places like Modesto. Chris was thinking, here goes nothing, and they rang the bell, and a very pleasant woman greeted them. She was no spring chicken herself, probably as old as Gullickson, but she had a youthful spirit and still moved pretty smooth. I'm Christian, he said, a little embarrassed by the name the last few years, and he'd sort of buried it, but that's what he was back in junior high. And he introduced Gloria, and the woman, Dolly, said, it's very thoughtful of you to come. He has his good days and bad days, naturally, and she ushered them in. You expected it, but it was tough to take anyway, Mr. Gullickson looking so diminished. He'd been a towering figure back then, was supposedly in the San Francisco High School Sports Hall of Fame, and he'd played college basketball somewhere, too. Chris was placing it. If he was 12, 13 back then and Mr. Gullickson was in his 50s, which seemed about right, that had put him mid-80s now. He was sitting on the couch watching a sporting event. Geez, it looked like an English soccer match. The sound up pretty loud, and he was eating a sandwich on a folding TV table. He had on slippers and a robe, never the greatest sign in the middle of the day. Hello, sir, Chris said. You probably don't remember me, but I was telling Gloria here on the way over, which he'd meant to but had forgotten, how you used to challenge the whole class with those shots from half court. This raised a bit of a smile out of Gullickson, and he was looking Gloria over, not worrying about Chris, but fair enough, maybe the guy was trying to place her, thinking he might have taught her one time too, though Chris realized that back then, male PE teachers didn't teach any girls. Ronald was always proud of those mid-court shots, Dolly, the wife, was saying. Weren't you, dear? Never missed one, I guess, Gullickson mumbled. Before we get to that, Chris said, I have to ask you, you always hated soccer. You made us play it for punishment. I still do, Gullickson said, but my grandkids play. I have to join the fun. Anyways, Chris said to Gloria and then the others, yeah, on rainy days we'd be stuck in the gym. All 3 years, there was one day, same scenario. You'd grab a ball, announce if you missed from half court, you'd buy the whole class milkshakes. But if you made it, we'd have to run Funston. You gave us the option up front. course I did, he said. That was the fun of it. Meaning, you asked for a show of hands who was in on the bet. We all went for it every time, except maybe a couple kids who were in the chess club or something, where a milkshake wasn't worth the risk of having a run, unlikely as it would be. How'd I do? Gullickson said. Well, like I'm building up to, sir. Son of a gun, but you drained the shot all 3 years. This got a laugh out of the old man, though it was a slightly aggressive one, and the truth was he did hit the shots the first 2 years, but the third one's clunked off the front rim, and Gullickson had been good to his word, sort of, with the rewards that time, though he sent a couple kids to the soft serve place around the corner and had them come back with cones and not shakes. I must say, Gloria said, we never had anything like that happen at our school. Which one? Gullickson said. Giannini, in the Sunset. I started off there, he said. Marina was a better fit. Interesting, Gloria said. How so? You didn't necessarily want to get him started with this, and odds were it boiled down to his disciplined style enjoying more free rein at Marina. And anyhow, Chris figured he should bring up the one thing he had been bugging him for 30 years before Mr. Gullickson suddenly faded and had to take a nap. Sir, Chris said, I'm wondering if you really remember me. There was a baseball game against Denman, playoff game. Jeb Caruso and Matt Flicker and Dave Horn were on that team too. You remember those guys, right? Gullickson was squinting at Chris now, and you couldn't tell if this was good or bad, but Chris went forward with it. I was playing second. They had one guy on, their final at bat. We were up by 2 runs. I make the play. I go wide and backhand it, which wasn't routine. But the throw to first, it kind of slipped. You might remember it pulled Caruso off the bag for a second, and then he stomped around trying to find it. And wasn't able to, and the guy was safe. Gullickson was squinting worse, if that was possible. He said, Yep, we get that one. There's 2 down. We nurse it home. Instead of the floodgates opening. Yeah, well, Chris said. Mr. Gullickson did start to stand up now, though he couldn't quite make it on his own, and Dolly helped him. He said to Chris, Fuck you bring that up for? Chris didn't have a good answer, and it did seem like time to leave, and Gullickson was working his walker, and you saw the back of him heading down the hall and disappearing, and Gloria and Dolly embraced, and Dolly thanked them so much for coming. Gloria waited a while until they were on 24 and passing Lafayette on the left, and she said, What did you bring that up for? Chris drove a little longer before addressing it. No good reason. Except that, she said, you were hoping he had let it go. I guess either that, he said, or was senile enough where he didn't even remember coaching baseball. You're trying to make a joke, the senility, she said, but there's a truth to it, correct? You carry stuff around, Chris said, a little catch in his throat, which he hadn't expected. Gloria reached over to him. I admire you for trying, she said.